Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, my fellow lovers. It is Maddie here with week 55 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
My name is Noah, and according to the meters and readings on my arc, Matt is sick as a dog this week.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. It's Scribe Slendy. I'm back. Jesus again. Christ. Again. I can't believe we're at 55. It's been a while since I was on, but it's good to be back.
And then our final guest, the most anticipated one of all time.
You've been asked so much. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Max.
Oh my God. Anticlimactic, but we love it.
No, it's his channel intro. He like goes into,
I'm Max.
It's like it's so good.
I'm sorry.
Anyways.
All right. So, as always, Sugar Bomb link down below, as is our t-shirt store. Also, we're available on iTunes if you want to listen on the go. And then, as always, we like to bring on new guests, whether they are fans of celebrities. So go ahead and answer the question with the hashtag HamRadioTime by tagging any of the handles you see on screen. Did Automatron live up to your expectations? Let us know on Twitter. Before we get into the Bethesda News Roundup, I think we need to ask Max a few questions.
Yes. I'm very curious about things with you, Max.
Yeah.
What are the inspiration behind your rather interesting comments?
Maddie.
Do they just come from the heart?
The penis.
Oh, okay. God
damn it all.
This really is the Ham Radio Podcast, dude.
And your videos, I don't know if everyone's seen his videos, but the videos are very interesting. They're good. I think they're funny.
They are funny. They're kind of meme inspired.
Do you just kind of like throw stuff together?
I just start thinking about things, and then I'm like, yeah, I like that, so I just put it in there, and then there you go.
There you go. His latest one has some a little bit of hentai sprinkled in. So, you know.
Oh, shit, what's your channel name? Fuck.
It's YouTube Hell, right?
Yeah, but you can't find it on YouTube. You can just type Leafy Hell, and it'll be, like, the second video.
Oh, dear God. I'm on it. You said hentai. You got my attention. Let's go.
That's an awful thing to confess. This is the weirdest shit already. All right. Well, we'll talk about something that most of the viewers came here for, the Bethesda News Roundup. So
they didn't come here for that.
Yeah, no, they came for Max. So Fallout 4's Automatron DLC dropped this week, so it's time for us to give our thoughts on that.
Contrary to everyone's belief, before you write your comment, I bet Noah hasn't even played it, honestly. Fuck him. No, I have. Haven't beaten it, but I have played it. I like it. It's my opinion.
I beat it. I thought it was all right. I thought it was just solid. It wasn't like...
I think for $10, it's...
Yeah, no, for $10, you could certainly find worse things to spend your money on.
Yeah.
I think they like I said in my review, I think they goofed up on one thing, which was the end game. I won't spoil what happens, but basically once you beat the DLC, it unlocks all the mods for you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah, and so now there's like no point to do the Radiant quest afterwards, which involve you hunting robots, so you just kind of have everything to play with right away, which is like a standard Bethesda move, but it was almost too generous where I was like, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, Max, you haven't played it yet, but are you? I'm sure you're going to?
Of course.
Nice.
Okay. So, I mean... You guys said you think it's worth the $10, though? I would agree with that. I mean, the modeling they did for some of those parts.
Oh,
like,
it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it that quickly.
Like, what's the new voice? I'm so sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
I do that a lot. You can talk over me.
There's, like, new voice actors, isn't there?
Yeah, there's Ada, Jezebel, obviously the Mechanist. Yeah, there's only a small amount of new characters now you mention it.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, the protagonists. I really like the Rust Devils, I think they're called.
Yes.
That was a neat faction.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool idea. And they actually, I didn't realize this until yesterday when I was getting gameplay for a video, that they actually roam the wasteland now.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was just walking around. Real? Yeah, I was like leaving an area, and there was just a bunch of robots and a couple of Rust Devils.
They'll attack your settlements, too. I was at the Red Rocket or whatever the hell it's called, the gas station, and they came over the hill, and I was like, oh.
Okay, now my question is, do they, I don't know if you guys know this, but you know if they show up only after you've triggered the first Automatron quest, or are they just going to be there once you have it installed? Because I plan on making a new character when survival mode comes out, and I don't know if I need to brace for them or not.
I don't know.
No idea.
All right. I'll have to look that up.
That DLC, I died so many times.
That was tough as shit, man.
Yeah. What? Rip.
The DLC?
In Automatron?
Yeah.
What difficulty? I don't know. I haven't died yet.
What difficulty do you play on?
No, the normal.
Very easy?
No, I just play on the normal.
I play on very hard because, you know, okay, my character's in that OP state. I'm just saying, he's in that OP state, so it's like it's more fun that way. But like some of the robots that you kill, just they, you know, just self-destruct after you
oh, that's so fucking annoying.
Yeah, so I died, I think I counted 6 times from that, and I raged each time individually because it's like, it was like almost like a mini nuke kind of thing. You know how like they have such a large explosion radius in the game? Like it was like that.
Yeah. Well, and the worst part was all of the legendary enemies did it, but every now and then a non-legendary enemy did it. So I had to step away from every fucking robot I killed because I didn't know if they were going to destruct or not.
Well, yeah, I got the robotics expert perk. So anytime I saw a legendary enemy, I just go into my pit boy and deactivate it and just keep going on.
Wow. Yeah.
Easy mode.
Yeah, and I'd shoot it until it was dead. You know, I don't know. It made life a lot easier.
Maddie enjoys the game. That's how it's.
I have a laser sniper rifle that I've modded, so now it's just obnoxiously OP, and that's kind of like my weapon of choice.
I got an M14 mod, like a gun.
Oh, okay.
And oh, dude, easy mode all day long. You can modify the ballistics on it, or the ammunition rather. So I got hard target ammunition that does like 25% more damage to robots. And yeah. No, that was easy mode, like for the rest of the game.
I have a double barrel shotgun that does explosive damage, and it's a legendary, and it destroys robots.
Like, I have that same one, but yeah, it's automatic. I got the automatic version, so I'll just like 25 rounds in the clip, and just go ham on them.
Oh, okay.
Too easy. Rounds in the clip, then I go ham on them.
God, yeah.
I can't laugh without sounding like a jackass.
It's like that time I had laryngitis and.
No, did you hear when I tried to laugh? Like,
I couldn't even. Gelatinous <Gelatinous almost>. Tentacles.
So, what I really appreciated about this DLC was that it seemed like a natural expansion of everything in Fallout 4 already.
Mm-hmm.
Like you needed parts for everything. You ended up scavenging anything you could possibly find again. It was about building stuff. You know, using the settlement. I really liked it.
Console commands for everything.
Really? You cheat? You call me a cheater?
All right. I really wanted to build a like. I want to turn Codsworth into a really fast assassin robot, and I just did not want to go looking for giddy up buttercups and adhesives.
Oh, I could.
So I did. I cheesed it a little.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm disappointed.
Can I ask a question? Let myself down.
Yes, you may, Max.
Okay. So does the DLC? Does it like add dialogue to all the other characters?
I don't know, honestly. So it's like, I don't believe so.
So they don't, like, know what's going on with the Automatron stuff?
Now that you mention it, they never really comment on it or anything.
Yeah, okay. I don't believe so. Now, that's actually an interesting question. It would be neat to kind of go to the, you know, if you still have the institution of, you know, the ability to go there, kind of go there and talk to them and see, you know, if they make any comment on it.
I actually was working. I hadn't beat the game, so I went after I beat Automatron. I went to go talk to the Institute a little bit, and I never heard them comment anything about robots. So I imagine it's because they would have to bring in all of the voice actors again to record those.
Right.
But that is kind of a shame that they passed up the opportunity for people to comment on the like evolving nature of the wasteland.
Well, I hope that with Far Harbor they add new lines for all the companions.
Far Harbor's gonna be so lit.
Because that would make the most sense, is them commenting on new stuff on the island, just like a handful of lines for each companion. That would be what I'd say is necessary.
Absolutely.
Well, because they did that with Broken Steel. Talking like going back to Fallout 3. Mm-hmm. Like once Broken Steel happened, you know, there was all of the extra dialogue with that.
It's weird. In Fallout 4, I always have a companion, but in 3 in New Vegas, I never used companions, like ever.
Really?
Yeah, I
swear. I was the same way.
Yeah, like I always went Lone Wanderer. I wasn't role playing or anything. I just did that.
In 4, though, they push it a lot more. Mm. It's much more prevalent. You know, like,
I just use them as carriers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, also in New Vegas in 3, they didn't really have that deep of a backstory, in my opinion.
No, I agree.
The ones in 4.
Yeah. No, the ones in 4 are much more amped up in the whole, you know, like, what else has gone on in their lives before and after you got there.
It's much more a part of the game.
They feel like actual people and not backpacks.
Yeah, although I still, you know.
Yeah, they're still backpacks, but at least they're, like, interesting backpacks.
And personalities.
I found some XO1 power armor.
Same.
In the DLC, and I got into that shit, and I was like, nice.
Oh, was it in the compound for the Raiders?
Yep, it's the same place where you find Jezebel.
Yep, the fort Hagen. I went down there, I opened it up, and I just looked to the left, and I was like, oh my god!
I was like, yeah, but
so happy.
I really enjoyed the new dungeons in the DLC.
Like, they are done.
They were really big areas too.
Yeah.
Those may be some of my favorites.
Like, holy shit.
That now, I haven't seen that yet. That I haven't.
It's huge.
Oh, that may be my favorite dungeon.
No spoilers.
It takes like almost an hour to get through, it felt like. Yeah. I could be wrong, but.
No, easy an hour. And I mean, the boss fight's pretty impressive.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
No spoilers. I ain't about that life. But the boss fight is actually, it's more of a boss fight than you get throughout the rest of the game, at least as far as I've gone.
Max, I'm on your side. I don't want spoilers.
Thanks, man.
But. No, it's all in all, for $10, if you don't have the season pass, for $10, it's definitely, I think, worth it.
Yeah.
You know, at least if you want more Fallout.
If it was 20, I'd be like, eh, but $10, it's pretty solid.
Fair enough.
You know.
Oh, and if you haven't played it, don't start a new character for it, because, it's tough. I think there's like a level 15 requirement as well.
Yeah, you gotta be level 15 to play it.
15 or 10?
15.
15. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, that's another thing that kind of bothered me, and I was reading it in some of the reviews. Unless you've spec'd down like robotics and armor building and stuff, you're not going to get to make most of the robots. Like that kind
of.
Well,
that's actually one of the questions we got this week, so we may as well mention it now, just because that's a perfect topic.
Okay, yeah.
Because Metals is Life said, "Do you think Automatron is inaccessible since customization options are locked behind perks? I can barely use any with my build right now."
That's
very true, because I was locked off from a lot of stuff because I didn't have the robotics expert perk. Now, mind you, my first character, when I ever make it in like a Bethesda game, I go for the I can do everything kind of build. And so for that, I focused on like settlements and crafting before anything. So I had most of this stuff, but I didn't have robotics expert. Now, I'm about level 71 right now, but fortunately I was close to leveling up. So I did manage to level up and pick the robotics expert and have all the options available. But I've heard that a lot of people haven't been able to access some of the stuff in the DLC. But I see, it's not a bad thing. People get complain when Bethesda doesn't make it where like you got to make choices and stuff, and that there isn't consequences. But when there is, and your build doesn't work out for something, people
everyone's gonna pick.
Yeah. You're going back to Deus Ex, where like if you didn't spec the right way, you couldn't even beat the fucking game sometimes.
Oh my god! Don't even start.
First
with
Deus Ex, or what was the other? System Shock 2 was the other one. Like, if you don't spec right and you get late game, you're fucked. Yeah.
That's always my fear. Like, that's always always been a fear of mine. Because I think it happened to me at a young age with a game. I don't know if it was like Mega Man or something happened. And I couldn't beat the game. Like, I just couldn't.
Yeah, you hit that wall.
Yeah, and I was like, this is, like, traumatizing. Like, I don't know. I don't remember what happened, though. I don't remember what game it was.
You've blacked that memory out.
Yep, like, it's repressed. It's very repressed. But...
So all in all, Automatron, pretty solid.
I'd give it if I had to numerically rate it, probably a 7.8, maybe an 8 out of 10.
Yep, I'm going to agree with that.
7 out of 10, okay.
Although it's not a if you're kind of burnt out on Fallout 4, I don't know if it's worth it.
You're not going
to
get that.
Because once, like, I beat that, I beat it in 2 hours. It was fun, but it didn't really pressure me to go back into the game after that.
It'll be a good long-term plan DLC when they sell the inevitable, you know, Ultimate Edition or Gear Edition, where it has all the stuff in it. Because, like I said, it's a natural expansion of everything already in Fallout 4. So when you play this, it later down the line, you already have it accessible. It's just going to be kind of natural, and it's going to feel right, and I think it'll work out to the game's advantage later on.
Yeah, but it's not a reason to go back and play, like, remake a new character and play for 40 hours. Yeah,
if you skip out on it, which, I mean, it's only $10, but, like, if you do skip out on it, like,
you're not going to be missing much.
Yeah, you're not going to miss a lot.
But it's fun enough, and I like that it is, and I said this before, but I like that it is $10. You know, it's nothing crazy.
And if you wear the Silver Shroud costume, you can have unique dialogue.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, well, because the Mechanist is an enemy in the Silver Shroud.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. So
I wear the trench coat. I don't wear the hat, though.
Yeah, no, you can go through, and it's nothing massive, but it is kind of funny.
Just little stuff.
There was a cool detail that they thought to do that.
Well, yeah, I thought that was a fantastic idea, in my opinion. They really seem to, you know, it's a small little expansion, but still, they seem to right some wrongs. If you noticed, when you're in dialogue, the preview for how long, like, your text is enormous now. Like, they really show you what you're going to say. They specify a lot more now.
I have the mod, so it wasn't doing that for me.
Oh, okay. Well, they also have a lot more little details in the game. Like I said, the Silver Shroud thing. Also, there's multiple endings for the DLC, which is always nice.
Is there? I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Okay, let's not. Yeah, let's not.
Yeah,
just a good and bad ending. But
yeah. Oh, and then one more little thing I have to add. I really liked how, since you're focusing on robots, you have a lot more of an opportunity to, like, cripple limbs and stuff. So if you have a fast melee robot, it's really fun to try to pick off their legs. Versus, because they can take a lot of hits. So unlike a lot of the squishier enemies, if you've overleveled, like, you can take out body parts of a robot without them dying, and it's kind of fun fucking with them like that.
Yeah.
See, okay, I have a question. I have a question now, and this is something all of us can answer. We don't have to have played the DLC to do this. But would you rather have a robot? Like, okay, so for instance, I set Ada up, the main robot companion you get. I set her up to be able to, like, have, like, Gatling gun, like, laser guns, and they're fucking crazy. So, and she does damage with them, but would you rather have them, like, a range setup or a melee setup for your robot companion?
Melee OP, though. Like, melee is so hard.
I made a build video for it. Like I put gameplay on survival mode, like, before the overhaul, mind you. And they do some insane damage.
You put those stealth blades
sometimes,
on there?
Oof. Yeah, sometimes the game, like, AI breaks naturally, and so like your companion won't do anything, so that's when it kind of
see, but that's my fear with it, is like that nothing will happen, you know. I don't know, I haven't messed with it. Max, what would you do?
Well, you know, I like to touch things, so I'm definitely going melee with that.
Thank you for the input, Max.
So our next piece of news, I don't know how I can naturally segue after that, but I'm going to try to. P9s confirmed on Twitter that Far Harbor will be bigger than Shivering Isles. Now, this goes without saying, since Bethesda did say it was their biggest landmass expansion, but I guess the confirmation is nice because Shivering Isles was a very long time ago. And, you know, some people are like, well, yeah, Bethesda did make it, but are they thinking of that when they're talking about this? You know, are they referring just to Fallout expansions, whatever? But yes, Pete confirmed that, yeah, it's going to be bigger than Shivering Isles. And if you guys haven't seen Shivering Isles, I suggest you Google the map for it, because it's like a whole nother Oblivion. It's a really big map full of new locations and weapons and armor and all that stuff. So to see that Far Harbor is going to be bigger than that, you can see where their efforts are going. Where even if you weren't a huge fan of Automatron, you can see that, wow, when Far Harbor is going to be bigger than that map, it's really exciting.
I'm excited for that. That's
pretty awesome.
The Harbor one is the one that I'm looking most forward to as well.
That's what everyone's been saying. Everyone's like, oh my god, Automatron and Wasteland Workshop are a waste. I just give us the real DLC, not glorified mods. Oh.
But I mean, it's free. It's free DLC that otherwise we wouldn't be getting. So, I mean, eh.
I'm not complaining. I enjoyed Automatron, but like, I think, like everyone, most excited for Far Harbor. Some people are pretty excited for Wasteland Workshop, though. I'm pretty excited for that. I think it'll be interesting.
No, it'll be neat seeing a Bethesda take on a mod like thing. Like, they made it clear with the robot modeling in this that even though it's like something you'd find on a mod, they put a lot of detail into it. So I'm looking forward to seeing how much detail they put into the upcoming one.
I mean, they kind of did that with Hearthfire for Skyrim.
Hearthfire yes. was so awesome.
Yeah, like God, someone was so like, good. Oh my God, Maddie, you thought, because I said that Dawnguard was my least favorite DLC for Skyrim.
Yeah.
He was like, but Maddie, what about Hearthfire? I'm like, well, at the time I was a console player, so I didn't have these house building.
Yes.
Cards. So I really liked Hearthfire for yeah. what it was, and I put a lot of time into it for a $5 piece of DLC because I really enjoyed building the house, and like it added like the kind of getting items in Skyrim, like that kind of worth.
Yeah, that game drew me back into Skyrim. I hadn't played Skyrim in at least a year, and Max, that got me back into it.
Sorry, Max, did you play Hearthfire at all?
I love building houses.
Yeah, do you build them like on a normal basis?
Of course.
How many basements do you have, like where you keep bodies? Like, of those houses.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good answer. Oh, my God.
But, no, Hearthfire was awesome. It was also, it helped my YouTube channel. Not yes, blow up, but it helped it out because I did the Hearthfire for Dummies. I could totally do the Automatron for Dummies, but Automatron, however you say it, I don't know. I have yet.
I used to say Automatron, but then Automatron. Like, yeah, people were like, oh, it's Automatron. I'm like, oh, geez.
Hey, this is not how you say it. Like, I just picture how angry people got.
Like, some kid's going to come up to you at fucking PAX East and just, like, kick that you in the dick and say, it's not how you say it.
Mr. Matty plays more like Mr. Matty doesn't know how to speak.
You need to
high five his 12-year-old friend. Like, good one, dude.
You gotta hire like your own secret service, Maddie.
I know.
One thing I want to do at E3, Matt, is take a bunch of pictures with people if they're fans or just anyone, and tweet all of them saying that every one of them is Lone. So we tweet like 15 pictures and say like, lone, oh, it was so
reveal.
Awesome to meet Lone.
Face reveal.
Yeah, Lone face, but each one just being a different person, you know.
No, but make even better, like make Lone actually be out there, but nobody knows which one
it
is.
Exactly, we'll work him in there, you know, but no one will know. It. No one will know, yeah. But Lone, I can picture Lone here saying, "That we're not doing that." Like, with his fucking laugh.
No. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding, Dave?
We are not doing that.
And then he'll go make toast for his girlfriend.
Yeah. I like my eggs poached.
Poached. What does he call shrimp again? We went over this. It was a big deal.
Prawns.
Prawns. God damn it.
Prawns on the barbie.
Prawns.
God, I hate Lone. I hate
you,
so
Lone.
Much.
I hope he hears this. Fuck you, Lone.
So do I. You fucking
prick.
He skipped the podcast to go be with his girlfriend on Easter weekend.
No, I don't have an issue with that.
Why are you prioritizing Lane the Wood, bro? Like, who cares?
Honestly, bro.
Talking about video games more important.
Podcast before. Oh God, my girlfriend's gonna hear this.
She listens.
Podcast before pussy.
My girlfriend beat me in Mortal Kombat. Versus DC Universe. The thing is, okay, I suck at fighting games. I'm going to preface that. She loves fighting games. So we went into this kind of at like the same level of skill, and she kicked my ass.
Who was she like, maining as?
She liked Sub-Zero. She was kind of maining for Sub-Zero, and then I made a rule. I was like, no, we have to change our characters each time we play.
Yeah,
and of course, when we did that, I started beating her. But you know,
no,
I kept doing uppercuts. It was kind of a cheap. I was being a dick.
I have to do the same thing with my girlfriend. Every time we play a fighting game, she finds the cheapest, spammiest character and will use that to kick my ass. So I have made the rule since, and thankfully she agreed to it. It's we always pick random character. Like we go to the random option and just let it choose for us.
There's no fucking option in that in Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe.
See, I play Street Fighter with her, so.
Is Street Fighter on Xbox?
Yep. All right. The free version, because I'm a poor normie.
There's a free version?
Yeah, it's like Street Fighter Ultra. I don't know if it's still free, but they had a free weekend. And it's like the arcade edition. And yeah, so if you ever want to get your ass kicked by your girlfriend on Street Fighter.
She loves Street Fighter. She likes Street Fighter, and she likes Dead or Alive.
She basically liked porn in a fighting game.
Yeah. Well, she said to me, she's like, I don't know why the boobs always move in Street Fighter. She's like, that's not how they work.
No, I was talking about Dead or Alive.
I meant
Dead or Alive, not Street Fighter.
In Dead or Alive, I played growing up, and I remember I got the demo when I was like 7, and like I was basically rocking a Woody the whole time because I was like, wow, this is Woody. Incredible.
But you don't even play Rumble Roses X. Come on, dude. Get it
I was
together.
Not expecting that use of the word.
You got a Woody. Friend in me.
There's a snake in my butt.
What the fuck?
Anyways.
Doom. Demons, power weapons, and power-ups. This is going to be a long read. Hopefully I can get through this without coughing my brains out.
Oh, I hope you do.
So basically there is a new piece on Bethesda.net detailing some new demons that you can use in multiplayer, some power weapons you can get in multiplayer, as well as power-ups. And so it's really interesting. The first one is the Baron of Hell. We need to overpower other players. The Baron of Hell's brute strength is unmatched. The Baron is perfect for those who want to rush right into the fray, dishing out the pain with vicious melee attacks and brutal glory kills. And if you ever find yourself surrounded as a Baron, use your ground pound, oh boy, this is an awful start, to damage a group of foes. While the Baron is formidable, he is not flawless. If you find yourself facing a Baron, it's best to stand back and aim for its head or spine. Next is the Revenant. With its speed and agility, the Revenant is all about outmaneuvering its foes and then overwhelming them with its deadly dual missile launchers. While the Revenant can't glide through an entire map, it can fly for short periods thanks to its jetpack, allowing it to leap over gaps, hover past hazards, and deal damage from above the fray, making its explosive missiles even more powerful thanks to the potential splash damage. Revenants are relatively weak for a demon, so players can chip away at their health. A shot to the Revenant's energy core will also deal big damage. Next is the Prowler. This is going to be a long read, so I hope everyone's really buckled in here.
I'm buckled in, Matt.
Okay, good. Next is a Prowler. Just like the name suggests, this multiplayer exclusive demon is great for tactical players who like to lurk in the shadows and ambush enemies before retreating back to safety. The Prowler can leap to most surfaces, jumping from a high point to high point, getting into position and waiting for the right moment to ambush an unsuspecting foe. Capable of killing a marine in a single blow, the Prowler can see enemies even through the walls, allowing it to set up its attacks and execute with deadly precision. Shut up, Duke. With low health and no ranged attacks, the Prowler is most vulnerable when it's on the ground surrounded by foes. The last demon that they detail in this article is the Mancubus. As slow and shambling as it looks, the Mancubus is a portly powerhouse who can crush his foes with long-range rockets while soaking up damage thanks to its high health. Its rocket barrage isn't the most accurate, but when you want to clear out an area, these arcing explosive shots can do the job like nothing else. The Mancubus also has a powerful short-range area of effect venting attack that builds up from the heat generated when he fires his rockets. If he doesn't vent, he risks overheating, but when he does vent, the Mancubus can destroy anyone foolish enough to get close. Okay, so those are the demons.
Okay.
I'm not done yet.
Fuck him.
Oh, shit, goddammit.
I'm not done yet.
Jesus.
I got a quick question, though.
All right, what's up, man?
If I play as the Revenant, can I win an Oscar?
Oh, I was going to make a joke about it. Goddammit.
I beat you to it.
Do I have to wrestle a bear?
That's a band. Go look up I Wrestle the Bear.
He's done so many better acting jobs in movies than The Revenant.
The Revenant was so good, though. 90%
of The Revenant is,
Have you actually seen The Revenant, Matt?
Yes.
Did you? Okay, what do you think of Wolf of Wall Street?
I actually haven't seen that, though.
God damn, watch that. That may be better than The Revenant. That's a good fucking movie. Like, watch that movie.
Is that a Tarantino movie?
No, that's...
why did I think it was a Tarantino movie?
Because you're gay?
I don't know.
I love the gays. It's cool.
I was gonna say. I was like, I'm gonna watch you. I'm gonna watch you pick this up on a live podcast. Let's watch you pick this up. I'm not gonna help you.
Let's go on the drama alert.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about that real quick. You just reminded me of something. There's a bunch of shit going on right now with H3H3 Productions and Leafy on YouTube. I just want to say both of that shit is stupid. Okay.
Fuck Keemstar though, for real.
Oh yeah, fuck Keemstar.
Keemstar's a piece of shit.
That's cancer. That's cancer. Oh, sorry, Matt. Yeah.
I just realized. I'm sorry, Matty.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Okay. Ghost Cannon. Fast and ferociously accurate, the Ghost Cannon fires speedy slugs that can go to distance and blow through multiple foes without any loss of power. And the chainsaw, if you hear the guttural roar of the chainsaw, you best get out of the way. This Doom favorite delivers an instant kill to any Marine and can quickly slice away at a demon's health. The BFG 9000, just like in classic Dooms, the BFG continues to live up to his name. It's a charged projectile, will not obliterate only anything in its blast radius, but also dishes out the pain to anyone along the way with tendrils of electrical energy. So those are the power weapons. And then the power-ups. We have invisibility. Sounds obvious. Haste. Why go fast when you can go even faster? Not only are you speedier and can make longer leaps due to your enhanced momentum, but your rate of fire is also increased and some weapons will charge faster. Regeneration. Rush into the fray with a bit of extra swagger thanks to regeneration. For a limited time, your health and armor will recharge. And
I've got
quad
that
damage,
swagger.
Which is obvious. So yeah, that's the whole piece right there.
What's quad damage? It's not obvious.
Yeah. But basically, if you guys want to give that a look, those who are listening, you can go ahead and do so, because they have some GIFs underneath each one that kind of show some of them in action, which is always very cool.
That's pretty lit.
Yeah, I'm excited for Doom.
I am too. I've gotten more and more excited about it since talking about it on the podcast, but honestly, Max, what are your thoughts on Doom?
I am creaming up for Doom.
He's creaming up for it. You heard it here, folks.
You have to make it sexual, don't you?
Please, please make, like, a YouTube parody or something of
Please.
A Doom trailer, Max.
We're begging you.
Max is like, I'll do what the fuck I want to do.
Max, have your parents seen your YouTube channel?
Okay, Matt, have your parents seen your YouTube channel?
Yes, obviously.
I don't think they have. Have they seen your live
channel? You need to bring them on as a guest, Matty. The Ham Radio podcast featuring Mr. Matty Plays Parents.
Matt's dad. Hey, everybody.
What's going on?
What's up, dudes? How's it going, YouTuber community?
Doing no.
I'm not gonna say any of your parents' names, Matt. But I picture your mom there, like, "How's it going, guys?" Your mom has a really thick.
I make her sound Canadian.
Well, she has like a thick New York accent, and sometimes I have issues doing that. I can't do it.
You just sounded so Canadian.
You really did. I was nice. About to I'm ask if your parents. Nice.
How's it going, guys? Eh?
How's it going, guys?
You want some maple syrup, eh?
So, that concludes our Bethesda news roundup. Now on to our favorite news bits and what we're playing.
You, buddy.
Who wants to go? Max.
Yeah, I was going
to
go. Max, you go first.
You go first, Max. Go on. I'm Max.
My favorite news bit? Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Go on, man. Go on, do it.
Did y'all hear about Portal 3?
I did not.
What the fuck? Are you for real?
No.
God damn it, Max.
Piece of shit.
Are you serious?
BRB guy's gonna go kill myself.
Did you hear about Half-Life 3?
It's like, no, really, they announced it.
No, but really, what's your news, bud?
Okay, for real, the Walking Dead Season 3 is gonna be coming out this year, so I'm excited for that.
Well, that is a good
one. Are you looking forward to the Batman one in Telltale?
Batman.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're doing a Batman one. And it's going to be like I'm excited for that. I haven't been excited for a Telltale game since The Wolf Among Us, but they're doing like one where Batman, where you play as like Bruce Wayne, and then like your decisions as Bruce affect like what happens when you're Batman and vice versa.
Okay, that sounds nice. Pretty good, actually.
See, yeah.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
I mean, well, because like I heard on a podcast, it was actually even funny enough because Noah's gonna crack a joke. It was actually Greg Miller, and no, he said something like, you know, Telltale is like, I feel like, what?
Nothing.
No, fuck. Shut the fuck up. No, okay, you fucking cocksucker. He said something like, you know, Telltale's almost like a, I forgot what word he used, but basically, like, they produce stuff for everyone and not everything's going to be your cup of tea. And that's why they make so many different IPs and stuff like that, where, like, you know, you may not want to play Minecraft Story Mode or Game of Thrones. But you'll want to play Batman and The Wolf Among Us, for example. So I'm pretty excited for the Batman one. It's supposed to come out, I think, this summer. So that'll be really enjoyable.
Okay.
The only issue, though, is that they start up all these different games, and then everyone obviously wants a Season 2. There's always that group, that audience that wants a Season 2. And then you're stuck with, like, a Wolf Among Us kind of thing, where it's been, like, 2 years or something like that. And there's no Season 2. And
this is the issue with starting so many goddamn story-driven IPs like this. You know, you have 40, and it's like, okay, guys.
But don't worry, dude. They're doing 8 episodes in a single season for Minecraft Story Mode.
God, fuck
you
that
know how
game.
Fucking dumb that is, too?
Fuck that.
I've watched some of it through APL Fisher streamed it, and I've watched it. It's the dumbest thing in the world. It's like a long ass Captain Sparkles Markiplier video.
It's so bad.
It's like, God damn it. I don't have anything against those guys at all. They just make videos for a different crowd. That's fine. That's awesome. They get the views for it. Awesome. But it's just like, that's all it feels like. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's pandering. It's fucking.
Anyone want to hear a fun fact? Speaking of Captain Sparkles,
do tell.
What?
He used to run a channel with 30,000 subs called Pros Don't Talk Shit, and I did a dual commentary with him on that channel.
Really? You still have him added on Skype, don't you?
I do still have him added on Skype. And when I was like hungering for subs, when I was stuck at like 20,000 and had like nothing going for me, I kept messaging him every now and then. We're like, hey, man. What's up? Do you remember me? And he had this thing on Do Not Disturb, and I was like, yeah, like, once I finally, like, you know, screwed my head on, I was like, all right, I'm just going to remove him now. But
you removed him?
Yeah, I mean, what, like, why would I have Captain Sparkles on my Skype friends list?
I have all sham.
You're going to have so many 12-year-olds messaging asking for his contact info.
I have all sham on my Steam friends because I played one game of Counter-Strike with him, and I've, like, never talked to him again, but it's like, I could...
I remember when I was younger, I saw some guy named All Sham No Wow on PS3, and I messaged him. I'm like, "Are you the YouTuber?" And he's like, "Yeah." And like, I ended up messaging him on YouTube. And I was like, "Hey, man, you know, we played a game of Call of Duty together. It's pretty cool." And he was like, "Yeah, that wasn't me." I was like, "Oh, fuck,
fucking idiot."
Well, it's cool, like, that he replied to you.
Yeah, but that was back when like YouTube messages were like a common thing. Like, it wasn't really difficult to dive into the depths of your messages.
Well, it was like Adam Kovic replied to me on Twitter, and someone tweeted to me and was like, "Noah, Adam Kovic replied to you. You're moving on up." Like, God damn it. Like, I asked him if he was going to E3. He said no. So,
too cool for E3.
What?
Too cool for E3.
No, none of the Funhouse guys are going to E3 apparently. Which really,
why?
Which really bummed me out. But.
Oh, well, if you guys
could have been like, "Hey, what's up? I'm Noah from Ham Radio. You may have heard of me."
Yeah, and then they'll be like, "Oh, no. I don't know you." And I'll be like, "You got any job openings?" And I'm like, "No." You know? Like, all right, I'm going to go back now to my group.
But, so, who would like to go next? What game you're playing? What's your favorite?
No, well, okay, I didn't actually. Max, what are you playing?
A little bit of KOTOR 2.
Wow. Oh, yes. You're trying to get on my good side here.
Are you on his bad side, Matt? Or Mac? No. I don't. No, I'm just kidding. But
good choice. Is
Thanks,
it like
man.
Your first time through?
Yes, it is.
Ooh. Make sure you get the content expansion mod off the workshop if you're playing on Steam.
Yeah, I do.
Like, okay, good. That's a must.
Can I go next?
Sure.
My news is that Rockstar is porting quite a bit of their games over to next gen.
Ooh.
So, you know, Xbox One, PS4 and stuff. Bully was recently put on.
That's Manhunt.
Manhunt
was.
Surprised. Yep. I don't think any of the Grand Theft Autos have been, at least in terms of like Grand Theft Auto 3 or Vice City or San Andreas, I don't think they are at all. But Bully is, which I think Red Dead is too. Or Red Dead is going to be.
I think Grand Theft Auto was one of them when the system first launched.
Okay,
I think one of the Grand Theft Autos was. I could be wrong though.
And I could be wrong too. But what's it called? That's their. It makes me excited because it makes me hope that Red Dead 2 will be talked about at E3.
Yes.
That would make
I
me
need
so
that
so
game.
Happy. Yeah, and then also I've been playing. Fallout. I've been playing the DLC, but I've also been playing Battlefield. I said this last week, but I've kind of like moved back to Battlefield a little bit because just by myself, I've just been playing and having fun with it. I don't know
which one.
4.
Yeah, Battlefield 4 is just a fantastic game.
Yeah, I'm just having fun with it. I don't know. I forgot like how much I liked it.
Well, all the free DLC is great too.
Well, I've been watching. Well, if you have premium, but I've been watching Neebs Gaming. I don't know if you guys ever heard of them. Some of the listeners may have, but they do a lot of Battlefield videos. So I've been like watching them and then wanting to play. You know what I mean? So it's like a double effect. But yeah,
cool. I don't have much, so I'll go ahead and go next. I actually don't have any news. I've been looking around and I haven't really found anything that, you know, we haven't covered. Nothing huge.
John.
I know, right? Dropping the ball. No, but I will say I've been I got on a Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 kick for like 2 weeks because Maddie gave me a copy, and I think I put—
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, man. I think I put 50 or 60 hours into it, like, nonstop.
Jesus. Wait, what did he give you a copy of? Plants vs. Zombies?
Garden Warfare 2.
Okay. I still have two copies for you and Lone.
Aren't they only on next gen, though?
No, they're on PC. And I put them in the group chat.
Bad.
And no one fucking redeemed them.
Oh, dude, my bad. If you give me them, if you give me mine, I'll do it. That was
I'll play with you, Maddie.
I was gonna say, yeah, that'd be a fun game to do a video on.
It's a lot of fun. But I finally took a break from that because I'd unlocked a ton of shit. I was like, all right, I need to do something other than this game because I feel like a neckbeard. And I went back. I always feel like a neckbeard. I actually went back to War Thunder, and I hadn't played it in year. It's a lot of fun. I mean, their model is still shit. It still encourages grinding, and you're not going to get anywhere if you don't buy premium. But I have a lot of fun with it. I just play it in my spare time with the tanks I've unlocked. I'm never actually going to put money into it. But for what it is, it's a lot of fun. If you're ever bored and you like World War II shit, it's way better than World of Tanks.
I was about to say, Matt and I played World of Tanks once, and apparently that game is fucking huge.
It's huge, but it's way too arcadey. The difference between War Thunder and World of Tanks is War Thunder is realistic. Like, World of Tanks is pretty much like you have to. It's hit points. All they have is hit points. But if you're playing tanks in War Thunder, like you actually have to take out the driver and like the different components of the tank and shit. And then if you're playing with planes, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you can shoot, and it won't do any damage if it misses everything. So it's more realistic, more clunky. I like it.
Yeah. Matt and I were just messing around with it, if I remember correctly. I don't think we were really into it. But it's a neat concept. I think the whole tank warfare thing is – it's interesting that it takes off.
Mm. It's popular. I actually tried Obsidian's tank game last night. They have Armored Warfare, and their quote-unquote difference from the competition is it's supposed to be like modern, like 50s to modern. But there's just no players on it, like, unfortunately. I love what it's doing.
No offense, but the most unappealing combination of things is saying tanks and MMO to me.
I have to agree with Matt, honestly. Well, like, free-to-play or massive free-to-play.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
It's just, I got to agree with Matt. I just have no interest in it.
Oh, yeah. No, I
cool
just, like,
idea to, like, test out for maybe, like, a game jam or something, but aside from that.
I'm glad like, people enjoy it, though. It's cool to see that it's, like, a whole genre of its own. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah, it makes so much fucking money. Like, there's MLG for it. It's actually an MLG game.
It's neat, but it's just... It's something I never... I try to stick away, if I'm honest, from free-to-plays, because I don't like the model.
Very rarely have found free-to-play games I like model-wise.
Now, here's the backwards thing to that. Some people argue that free-to-plays are something that you play it for free, obviously, and if you put money into it, that's the value you're putting the game at, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. At the same token, I don't like free-to-plays where it's pay-to-win. No one does. You know what I mean?
But isn't, like, Hearthstone? Isn't that
Hearthstone is free-to-play. Hearthstone's free-to-play. It's a simple free-to-play, if you want my honest opinion. But it's, some people may very, very heavily disagree with me on that. But I think a really good example of a free-to-play done right is Dirty Bomb. I do like Dirty Bomb.
Maddie and I play that sometimes.
Yeah,
Dirty Bomb is good.
Dirty Bomb's fun. That's the game I stream a lot.
It sounds like a cop out, but Fallout Shelter.
I mean, it's a good mobile game. You know, I'm talking about mainly just PC games, but you know.
I got another one. I got another one actually. It hasn't come out yet, but what's the game? Fuck, Dreadnought. The beta starts really soon, and that is, at least from what I've heard, their free to play model is going to be really good. Because it's more focused on it's not pay to win all of the purchases, at least from what I've interviewed them. They say they haven't even worked on the free to play model yet, but it's only going to be strictly cosmetic. As for what you can unlock in the game, everybody unlocks at the same rate. There's no like increased XP gain if you get one system or the other. And I mean, granted, it hasn't happened yet. You got to try it out, but keep an eye out for the Dreadnought beta because it sounds like it's gonna be pretty lit.
That's pretty awesome.
That's all. I'm done. I contributed.
As for me, I'm currently playing a game that is embargoed. So yeah, I can't really say what I'm playing other than I'm playing a game I can't talk about.
Wow, Matt, awesome.
Yeah, that's good for you, man.
Thanks, Lone.
Real proud of you there.
I abide by my contracts. so My favorite news bit, though, is Ratchet and Clank has gone gold.
Oh, for real?
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, all right, that's pretty hype. April 12th, I believe. And, like, it got me thinking. I'm like, where's the new Sly Cooper? Where's the new Jack and Daxter? Like, if they're making the comeback here.
I asked for a PS4 for my 21st birthday.
I mean, what's interesting, is that technically this game, it's like a remaster of the first one, but also like a tie-in with the movie. Like, there's going to be differences that tie into the movie, which I think is cool. And I thought, like, well, they're doing a Sly Cooper movie, so it's like, are they going to be making a new Sly Cooper game? Like, because if I had to pick, like, in order, I'd say Sly, then Ratchet and Clank, then Jack and Daxter.
I'd want Ratchet and Clank first, and then Sly.
God, I hope the movie doesn't suck.
Well, because, Ratchet and Clank, like, will never die. They've been doing it forever, it feels like. Like, there's current ones to this day, you know, aside from that new one. Like, they did one a few years back, I think. It was, like, Into the Nexus or something like that.
It kind of sucked.
It was all right. It was like, $30.
Okay, true. Was it, like, for a... Oh, shit. For a cheaper game, it wasn't bad. But, like, compared to the originals, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was as good.
No, I hear you. But, yeah, so it's, like... It just got me thinking. I was like, damn, I hope there's more of the classics returning now. Because they're trying to bring them into the movie universe. And apparently there was, like, leaked concept art of a Jack and Daxter 4.
Hmm. Oh.
And I was just like, oh, man. Like, I really hope so.
That would be pretty lit. Like, I hope that happens.
Me too. Jack and Daxter 4, or Jack and Daxter in general, had, like, really mature humor slid in there. That, like, it made it so worth it playing it over a second time when you're older. Because you pick up on so much other shit.
That's like going back and watching the, like, first three seasons of SpongeBob when you're older. It's just like,
yeah.
Whoa. Oh, gosh.
I went back through that, that was an experience.
The best ones when I forgot what the exact quotes were, but like I think Squidward said it's like, isn't it Pearl's like time of the month or something along those lines. And like he like points in the sky and like all of a sudden there's like a red blimp in the sky and it's like symbolizing her on her period or something like that.
All I remember is there's the episode where SpongeBob and Sandy are doing too much karate in public and it's disturbing people. So they have to stop doing karate in public, and it gets really fucking sexual. Like, it's that may be the most sexual episode that's out there. It's ridiculous.
What do they do?
It's basically it's just in a giant analogy for not having sex all the time, and it is not subtle. Wow. It's been a couple months since I watched it, so I don't know the specifics, but the dialogue and the actual like what's going on in the episode, it is the most blatantly obvious thing ever. And I had been, like I said, I was marathoning the first three seasons on Amazon Prime, and I'm watching these like, oh my god, this was on television. Like,
it's amazing because it was still like a good show growing up, where like, yeah, I thought it was funny and whatever.
At least it was good before it got taken over by like strictly Nickelodeon and just became a kid's cartoon. Because
yeah, I'm back.
I like it still, though. I watched a new episode yesterday. Yeah, I watched a new episode yesterday.
I thought it was over. Like, didn't the series finally... Jesus Christ, they keep saying they're going to end it, and then they don't.
Because they can't end it. SpongeBob can never end. Someone will just take it over and just keep continuing on.
Like Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Teen Titans Go isn't that good.
I know, I was trying to trigger you. You like it all... You're like the first person that enjoys it.
I just like Teen Titans more. Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, so many people are like, oh, it's not as good as the first one, but it's two different things. Like, Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go are two different genres. They're not the same.
It's like, Teen Titans Go is more of a
like a spoof. It's like a spoof of the original. And I don't know. All right, I'm done. I'm going to go back into my hole.
Well, that'll do it for what we're playing in our favorite news bits. I'll just jot down the time here. Now, on to our fan questions. The first one comes from Why Hedgehogs Fly, and he's got a great question. He says, you've become the CEO of a game dev studio. You can purchase any IP. What would that be, and how would you change it?
Oh, shit.
This is a good one.
Ooh. That's a thinker right there. Shit.
Yeah.
Right?
You'll have to give me a minute. Now I'm thinking.
Matt, does anyone have one? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about it much. I just kind of jotted down the question. But if I were to do anything, I'd take Star Wars away from EA.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
I'd start off with that. So now I have the entire Star Wars IP. I'd make a new Knights of the Old Republic.
Of course.
Yeah. Would you make a new Republic Commando though?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Good. All right, that was the most important question because I might have had to hang up the call if you said no.
Yeah, they got to make that Imperial Commando. That rumored, that long-winded rumor of an Imperial Commando.
Goddamn, dude, that would be so good if they did.
I hope one day.
Man,
I know it sounds like a cop out to use KOTOR, but seriously, people, let's be honest that Star Wars license is somewhat, to a degree, safe in EA's hand because the game that Visceral Games is working on for Star Wars has been in development for like 4 or 5 years right now.
I hope it's not like, in development.
They haven't like announced it or anything yet because like I think it's like obviously it's going to release along one of the movies, so they're not rushing it whatsoever. So it shows that EA can kind of respect,
I guess,
the game.
Yeah.
But like, you know, then you look at Battlefront, you're like, well, I don't know about that. So.
You know, this is a hard one.
Yeah, no, this is...
My mind wants to say, like, GTA or, like, any of the Rockstar IPs, but at the same token, I'm like, that's too easy. I'm like, I'm trying to dig deep.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd probably buy the Skate franchise.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd start pumping out, like, just because that physics engine is so good.
Yeah.
I'd probably start pumping out either just new Skate games or, like, and the way I'd change it, maybe add, like, man...
Annualize it.
Either location. Well, maybe annualize it, like biannual, maybe. Like probably add like BMX to it or something, you know, or like motocross to it.
I actually like that.
Just really like throw in a bunch of different extreme sports. You
that
know,
should be pretty cool. Motocross.
Motocross.
Yeah,
because
with that physics engine, you could do a lot of cool shit.
Exactly, and I do miss the Skate. Mm-hmm. I want it to come back so badly. One.
All right, I got mine too. It's I doubt any of you, me and Rob were talking about this in the chat yesterday. But I would buy, or at least a series, I would buy the rights to the Warhammer 40K games away from Games Workshop because 40K. I don't know if you guys are into it or not, but it has a really cool universe. Like it was the origin of the whole Grimdark thing. But the Games Workshop will give the IP to pretty much anybody, and so. About 90% of the 40K games that have actually come out are ass. Like, they are just low-effort, shitty games. So if I could buy the entire, like, the entire IP away from them,
except
I would...
Vermintide.
Okay, Vermintide's good, but that's not a 40K game. Yeah. But they do that with a Warhammer franchise, too. It just seems like the Warhammer medieval franchise goes to better companies than the 40K franchise. But now, if I could, I would buy 40K and maybe give it out to... Shit, I don't know. Visceral would do some really good 40K games with their work on Dead Space. Because that was Visceral, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, they could do some really good stuff. I don't know. Just pretty much anybody other than the cheap-ass developers they've been giving it to in the past.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Max?
Half-Life.
Oh! I didn't even think about that quite
There
honest.
You go.
What would you do differently?
Release it.
This kid. God. Oh my god. Okay,
I knew he was gonna say just
best answer. Best god. Fucking answer. Hey, I'm gonna go home now. Like, yeah. I can't top that. This podcast is over.
Yep. What's our next question? Jesus.
It's less of a question and more of a statement that I found on Sugar Bomb that I thought deserved a little highlighting. It might give us some answers, some clarity, some closure. I believe the reason Lone can't show his face is because he's actually a descendant of Narcissus. If anyone sees his face, they'll fall in love with him. That's why he gets so many girls. He just has to show his face and they're his. This is also why he must hide his face, because then he'd risk seeing his reflection and falling in love with himself. That, or he could risk a massive amount of people falling in love with him and ensue chaos across the wasteland.
There was a Rick and Morty episode based on that concept of everyone falling in love with one person.
That's Rick and Morty right there.
Yeah, it caused like a huge like war. No, it's interesting.
Cronenberg did up. Sorry.
Yeah. That show, real quick, Rick and Morty is a fucking deep show.
My god.
There's an analytical video done about Rick and Morty, and it is so interesting.
I think I've watched that series I think I've marathoned it at least 4 times, and I keep finding new things every time.
Yeah, it really is a neat show. But no, Lone can't show his face for reasons we really can't say other than his, you know, they're his reasons. And we have to respect them, even though it can be a pain in the butt sometimes.
It adds to his persona. Time. It's cool.
It does, though. In a way, I agree with John. It does add to that kind of, who is he? You know what I mean?
He's Batman. I mean, clearly.
He is.
Don't tell anybody. I'm sorry. Do we need to cut that part out? Did I spoil it?
Absolutely. But what's it called? It's his own reasons.
He's just a pussy.
That's all. Okay. And that's all we can really say on that.
God damn it. No, it's just being nice. I'm the one who cuts to the chase.
Yeah.
Leonidas Olympia says, most anticipated movie coming out this year. And he says to me, besides TMNT, Maddie. I don't know any other movies that come out this year.
I don't either.
Suicide Squad?
TMNT should not be Civil on War. Your list.
Civil War is going to be gay.
Civil War, you gotta stop saying that, John. Jesus. What's it called? Civil War could either be really cool or fucking suck.
Latter.
It's not gonna be in any, there's no middle ground there.
Yeah, no, it's either gonna be one or the other. Here's the thing though, I read the comics. Like, I'm a huge fan of comic books. And the actual Civil War comic takes place over quite a few comics. Takes place from both sides of, like, both points of perspective, and there's over, what, like 75 heroes on each side. This is a 2-hour movie that looks like it's focusing on Captain America's perspective, with 6 people on each side. Half of those people haven't even been introduced into the series thus far. Yeah. I just feel like it either needs to be a 2-parter, or they need to push it back to when there's more people. I don't know. I feel like it's rushed, like, oh shit, we might as well do this now before Infinity War.
Yeah, I feel like Marvel movies, for the most part, other than, and this is Deadpool and Ant-Man excluded, Marvel movies, for the most part, are not that great. I think they are so overrated. Like the Avengers, for instance. The Avengers movies, I'm not talking about the comics, I'm talking about the movies, I think are the most overrated fucking things in the world. I'm sorry, I'm going to get so much hate for this. But like Age of Ultron, I'm sorry,
I fell asleep in it, dude. Balls. I just turned it off.
Like Ultron was like, how do we make Ultron super, like the way he looked sounded like someone described what an evil robot looks like over the phone. You know what I mean? Let's make him big and silver and with red eyes. Yeah, that sounds good. That'll make cool action figures. Like, come on, guys. I don't know. I thought it was shit.
Have you seen Batman versus Superman?
I have not, but I've heard. I've heard interesting things about it.
That's how you do fight scenes, dude. The fight scenes in that. Oh.
Oh, here. I'm looking at a 2016 list of movies. I already found my most anticipated one.
What?
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I already said that.
I'm leaning towards Suicide Squad.
I don't know if Rogue One comes out this year.
Yes, it's... Oh, fuck. Rogue One. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. Rogue what One. Is Rogue One?
Rogue One is the... it's a Star Wars spinoff movie. How long it is? Yeah, it's every year. It's going to alternate between main movies and side movies, but this one takes place 7 years before. I'm going to nerd out here. It takes place 7 years before the first movie, and it's about a bunch of rebel soldiers. There's like no heroes, none of that. It's about a bunch of rebel soldiers trying to infiltrate the Death Star and blow it up or something like that. And it has Darth Vader coming back. As a role, and what they said is they kind of want to do it like, they didn't compare it to this, but it's gonna be like KOTOR 2, where it's a lot of morally gray. It's not all good and bad, so like, you know, bad guys are good, good guys can be bad, etc. So it looks like they want to do a darker spin on the Star Wars franchise. It's still a core movie, so it's not gonna be people, you know, cutting each other's throats open, but it'll be interesting. And the director is really good. I can't remember off the top of my head what he's done, but he's made a lot of good movies that I've enjoyed.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
So it'll be lit. I'm sorry.
I think I'm going to go with Suicide Squad, though, just because that seems really dark, and I like dark superhero stuff.
I do, too. So I don't like Marvel.
Go watch Batman vs.
So
Superman.
Happy-go-lucky.
Dark as shit.
But Batman vs. Superman is not Marvel. That's what I'm saying. It's DC.
Yeah. No, it's DC. But I mean,
DC has always been a little bit darker.
Yeah, but like, just even movie wise, it has a lot darker tone than the Marvel films.
I've heard if you're going into Batman vs Superman expecting like Avengers, you're gonna be sorely disappointed.
That's what people have heard.
Yeah, I've heard though that it's more like it follows more of like a Watchmen line.
Yeah, no, that's it. Well, and it's by the guy that made the Watchmen movie, so I mean that contributes. Mm. But no, I think that's why the critics have been shitting on it, is that the only real standard that they've had for like movies like this is Avengers. And no, this is not an Avengers movie. This is about as far from an Avengers movie as you can possibly get, which is a good thing. I think it's good.
They didn't like promote it that way, but with some of like the hirings they made and stuff, like they're like, okay, we got Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg. Like, you know, they're getting all these different people in the movie. Apparently, I haven't seen it yet, mind you. I want to see it though.
Go see it. And
I would have seen it this weekend if I didn't have the fucking flu. But
get everybody sick in the theater. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I really do want to go see it, though.
Patient zero.
But I think that's why people went in kind of expecting a almost like a Justice League movie. But this is a setup for Justice League, apparently. So
it's a good setup. The fight scenes in it make Marvel movies look like I've said before, it makes it look like a middle school wrestling tournament. Like
I want to ask this, though. Does it do a good job of equally like showing both characters? Or does it – because the trailer's focused more on Superman.
Actually, it does do a good job.
Okay.
I'd say it's about 60-40 between Batman and Superman, but okay. The only reason it is because we've already been introduced to Superman. So Batman, we need a setup for his new character. Ben Affleck does a really good job. But it's still very equally balanced. Both of them get – their reasonings behind eventually fighting are very well fleshed out. The human emotion is very good. So I would say it's equal. I went in worrying that they were going to – inequally distribute, but it's about fairly even. It goes back and forth between the two. So yeah, no, they did a good job. So
that was a long silence right there.
Yeah, yeah. I was like waiting for someone to talk.
Yeah, I was reading my Twitter and I was like, okay.
But what's the next question then?
Keep it rolling.
We only have one more question from Brian MX34. Most DLC for Fallout 3 in New Vegas were larger expansions, so why has Bethesda gone in favor of more smaller content for Fallout 4?
Maddie and I were talking about that this week, actually.
I think it might be just because then they can make big, big ones like Far Harbor. That's my guess, though.
Well, doesn't make sense, though. Why they can do big, big ones anyway.
I'm saying they can do – it's much easier to do both.
I don't see how it's much easier to do both. It's more.
I'm saying it's easier to do like a smaller piece of content.
You're saying the flow of content is better because you're having a little bit than a lot, then a little bit than a little bit. You're saying like that kind of
thing? Or like production.
I'm saying, yeah, like you make smaller DLCs like a Wasteland Workshop and Automatron, it takes effort. Don't get me wrong, but when you compare that to how big Far Harbor apparently is going to be, I think it's because they're focusing their efforts on making that giant expansion. Where if they did like what, and mind you, 3 in New Vegas, they really weren't like that big, except for Old World Blues. That's one that comes to mind that was pretty big. So was Lonesome Road.
Lonesome Road was fucking.
But like as for like 3, you know, it wasn't like the pit was incredibly long. Like none of these are really long.
The pit wasn't long.
The pit
but
was
kind of
small. Yeah. I think
Point Lookout was
Point
decent.
Lookout, yeah.
Yeah, decent length, you know. Like they weren't that much bigger where like me, I got about 7 hours out of Automatron. So that's not too bad where I'd say that's about a little bit more than I put into the pit, you know. The pit was just a story and there wasn't much exploration there.
I think the real question is, are you the kind of person that wants what's the Bethesda standard? 4 medium-ish scale new maps, or do you want 2 or 3 really, really large maps and then some small stuff sprinkled in? I think that's what it's coming down to. Like, how do you prefer your distribution of DLC?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
And don't forget, they do have a whole second phase of DLC. I'd imagine those could be like 2 new land masses, perhaps, that, you know, aren't as big as Far Harbor, but they're just new areas to explore. Maybe the size of like Dragonborn from Skyrim, like pretty big size, but like not ginormous.
Yeah. I'm hoping they add on something akin to Broken Steel, where it like for the last DLC, they really continue the story and bring it to maybe not a better, but a different end. Cause I know a lot of people weren't happy with the end of Fallout 4. And they kind of did that with Lonesome Road, but I'm hoping the last DLC is something more narrative based to the original story.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Or we could.
Bethesda might just start getting a knack for like making expansions of the story, though, and people will start to bitch probably. I mean, people are always like, "Why don't they make like include some of the new endings and stuff like that?" I'm like, kind of, what's the point? Like,
Don't Mass Effect it.
Honestly, yeah, like, it's not like Fallout 4's endings were awful. It's just that they all ended in the same cutscene at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was the problem.
No, but I think
other what Bethesda, than that, it kind of. I'm just saying, in the scheme of things, there were choices involved. There just wasn't much consequence.
And no, I wasn't disappointed with the ending by any stretch of the imagination. I just I think adding on something that continued, because, like, you know, Fallout 3, the ending, a lot of people didn't like, but it wasn't bad. But, you know, Broken Steel continued on to it. Now, I will say that the game doesn't straight up end in Fallout 4 when you're done with it like it did in that, but I think it'd be cool to maybe bring on a whole new set of quests and story missions, even post completion, so to speak.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that'd be interesting. I mean, for me personally, though, like, if they already have two DLCs, which are going to be Automatron and Wasteland Workshop, focusing on expanding kind of like the base game, I think that it's going to be important after that, with obviously Far Harbor, but with other places to take us new places.
Exactly.
That's the hook with Fallout DLCs. Even if it's not a big area, it's fun going somewhere else.
Well, because the world's so neat. It's even if you're not getting a large section to explore, you're still getting to explore other parts of this fantastic world they've created. I'm hoping to see something in the Memory Den pre-war. I mean, I know a lot of people have been saying that, but oh my god.
That could really be flushed out.
And it's right there. It's right there. You have to go into the Memory Den. It's not like on Nellis Air Force Base where you can miss the simulator pods. So there's so much
it's
potential.
In the main story. It's, I mean, I guess you could say Nellis Air Force Base could be a part of the main story, but I'm just saying, like, it's kind of the simulation pods are somewhat out of the way. Like, in Fallout 4, it's right in your face. Like, people are getting in them, talking about them.
Like, ever since they were shown, people were talking pre-war, you know, go back into your memories. And so far, there's not been any sign of it. In fact, I feel like the Memory Den is really underused. So I'm just crossing my fingers.
I think it's a setup. Yeah, I think it's a setup for DLC.
It's just there's just too much there for them not to do it.
Yeah, but
now, what would they do? Just give you a bunch of
that's a conversation. That's a conversation for another cast. No.
Or they just send you to a new area and it'd be kind of Operation Anchorage.
I was gonna say I think it might be something like that. Anchorage.
Yeah.
I'd love to see, I don't know, the initial assault of the Chinese mainland. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Max, though, I don't know your opinion.
Yes, please, Max. You're quiet. I feel bad.
On the DLC?
Yes.
Yeah.
I played the Fallout 1 and 2, and I really liked those games. So maybe a nice DLC would be to, go back to there or something. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Something like
I
Watertown?
I do know what you're saying, Max.
That'd be kind of cool.
I wish they kind of did something with San Francisco from Fallout 2.
Yeah.
The fucking boxing ring in the middle.
We could go make the prank call to the Enclave officers again.
Oh my gosh.
The little
best
homage
scene
to
in a
that.
Fallout game ever, hands down. That shit was amazing.
Come beat the shit out of you.
It's funny because actually he actually sends a vertebrae to MODOK and you actually get fucking killed.
MODOK also has great ambient music. I still have that on my soundtrack right now.
Yeah, the best in the Fallout game as well, hands down. Anytime I do a really special video, I feel I got to use MODOK's kind of background music. I always got to do that.
MODOK is too good.
That's all the fan questions, which means that this podcast is about to wrap up. So thank you to everyone who listened this far. And you know what we're going to do to conclude this podcast?
What are we going to do?
I want to have Max end it.
Yeah.
Max, end it. End the shish.
Okay, count me down, please.
Three. Three
two.
And a half.
Oh, shit.
Two. One.
Maddie. I want you, Noah, Lone, and even Slendy to violently crucify me by forcefully impaling me with your cocks as you skin me alive with your teeth, and your jizz coalesces with my blood as it runs down my body, and Maddie says the word, stay sexy, stay active. I love you all. Peace.
He's in this off the fucking call. It's just natural for him.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.